This is Brother Hansen from Truth and Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get back into our study in the patriarchs. And I know you probably haven't heard much taught on the patriarchs, but this is something that might be different for you, and it might be interesting. Let's continue our study. Now, the book of Deuteronomy ends in a sadness with the death of Moses, though grief is soon offset by the arrival of the Israelites into the Promised Land. Moses had chosen his faithful assistant Joshua as his successor, and the time through clever military strategy and the help of God, Joshua led the people to conquer a fair amount of Canaan. The Israelites' settlement grew as the loose conglomerate of 12 tribes, each of which is allotment of his own land. For more than 300 years, beginning with Joshua's death, about 1375 BC, the tribes had no single leader or central government, and when they confronted foreign oppression, they banded together to fight. The Bible describes a cyclical pattern to the life and community during this transitional time, known as the period of the judges. The people would ignore their responsibilities to God, and God would punish them by sending them an oppressor. Then the people would cry out to be saved, and God would raise up a leader or judge to free the people from oppression. Years of peace would follow before the next crisis. One of the judges was a woman, a prophetess named Deborah. At a time when the Israelites were being oppressed by the Canaanites, Deborah called on the Israelite general Barak to fight them off, prophesying victory. Barak agreed to do so, as Deborah asked, as long as she would join him, and so she did. Their successful battle was crowned when the Canaanite general Sisera was killed by an Israelite sympathizer, a tent-dwelling Kenite woman named Jael. The story is told in prose in Judges 4, and in the Song of Deborah in Judges 5. Elements of the song's language exhibit linguistic traits of very early Hebrew. And it is believed to be one of the oldest pieces of writing in the Bible. Deborah's song stresses God's revelatory power, emphasizing that Israel's victory was due to a combination of people's strength and forces of nature, all under God's direction. The recovery of significant amounts of ancient Canaanite literature has shed light on many aspects of biblical literature, in particular early Israelite poetry. And the Deborah's prophecy of victory was fulfilled when, under Barak's command, all the army of Sisera fell by the sword. Judges 4 and verse 16. Sisera, who had fled the battle, met his own fate in the tent of Jael, J-A-E-L, J-A-E-L, and Heber. Excerpts from the ancient victory hymn, Judges 5, follow. Now, in the days, this is some of the song, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, caravans ceased and travelers kept to the byway. The peasantry prospered, In Israel, they grew fat on plunder because you arose, Deborah arose as a mother in Israel. The tell of it, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, and you who walk by the way to the sound of musicians at the watering places. There they repeat the triumphs of the Lord, the triumphs of his peasantry in Israel. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives. O son of Abinoam. Then down marched the remnant of the noble, the people of the Lord. March down for him against the mighty. The kings came, they fought, then fought the kings of Canaan at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They got no spoils of silver. The stars fought from heaven, from their courses they fought against Sisera. Now the stars here, quite possibly interpreted as angels. Angels. And they fought from heaven, from their courses. They fought against Sisera. March on, my soul, with might, most blessed woman, Bejael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women, most blessed. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds and a lordly bowl. She put her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera a blow. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Notice here. He sunk, he fell, he lay still at her feet. At her feet he sank and fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. So perish all your enemies, O Lord. But may your friends be like the sun as it rises in its night. Now, this is a good indication of a woman fighting in a war. Deborah, being a prophetess, she went with a mallet and it looks like some kind of a stake, and she drove it into his temple, killing this Sisera, and by the hand of God and his angels. It's just I find that very interesting. Very interesting. The Israelites are thought to have begun writing down their own their oral literature and history during the reign of David in the 10th century BC. However, they paid far greater attention to the written word after the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians in the 6th century BC, realizing that they were at risk of losing touch with their oral history to traditions and developing faith. The Israelites put everything in writing. Some of those records came to be recognized as holy and are known today as the books of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And isn't it something that you're about to lose your entire country and then you finally realize, uh-oh, we better protect this. And that's exactly what they did. They started protecting the Word of God and as it was written. The establishment of a monarchy and a center of government in Israel prompted the creation of national literature and rich and colorful prose chronicles the exciting story of the rise of kings in Israel. From the anointing of Saul which was kind of a rebellious and antichrist king, through the ascent of David, the rightful king, to the selection of Solomon. As told in 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 Kings, the dramatic episodes demonstrate that history is not a collection of random events, but the unfolding of God's plan. Did you get that? Let me say that again. The history, dramatic episodes demonstrate that history is not a collection of random events, but the unfolding of God's plan. That just explodes inside him. With the creation of a mighty kingdom, the sufferings in Egypt, the wanderings in the wilderness, and the uneven nature of leadership in the days of the judges reached a purposeful end when the prophet Samuel anointed Saul as their first king. Some Israelites resisted, acknowledging God alone as their king, but they slowly came to accept a temporal ruler as the will of God. I don't believe this was the will of God. As you remember, God warned them. God warned them about Saul in particular, and warned him about the high taxes and the control factor that a king would have, taking your daughters and sons and putting them to work for nothing. God warned him. And beginning about 1020 BC, Saul mobilized the Israelite tribes to offset Philistine military threats. In doing so, he laid the groundwork to a certain extent for David, but David was much more wiser and a king that didn't fall on his own sword. He forged the contentious confederation into a strong central controlled state. During his reign, which began in 1010 BC, he subdued the Philistines and transformed Israel into one of the strongest nations between the Nile and the Euphrates. David was promised by God that his house or family would endure forever. He was succeeded by his son Solomon, who governed from 961 to 922. Solomon vastly increased the wealth and power of the nation and erected a temple in Jerusalem, which would not only be the dwelling place of God, but the symbol of the unshakable union between faith and state. You know, David was a subject of some of the best-known stories in the Old Testament. And you can picture David with the head of Solomon. Not the head of Solomon, the head of Goliath. And leading King Saul in a detail from 13th century. You know, he's the one that destroyed Goliath, the mighty one that challenged Israel. And I'm going to have to end it there. Go to our website, krciradio.com. You can find many of these already uploaded. And shoot us a message. Let us know you're listening. You can call us at 928-368-6766. And you can write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study to show yourself approved to God.